Praise on. Praise the Lord for this another Sunday. This another Sunday. We're going to go to the Word of God this morning. I ask you to pray with me before we start the Word. Father God, we thank you for this another opportunity to preach the gospel to myself and to your people. And so, God, we thank you for strength this morning and clarity to preach this gospel of yours in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, where I can of my own self do nothing. Holy Spirit, as you speak to me and through me, I will speak to the people. As you strengthen me, I will be able to do this morning. And so, God, we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been working on a series, and actually Robert started it. And I guess the Holy Spirit had me to carry on with it. But we've been talking about the true nature of God. And we've been learning about what our Father God is all about, who he is, because we should know him. We cannot really receive his love if we don't know him. We can't really communicate and fellowship with him without knowing him. We can't really fellowship with the God if we're afraid to approach him. We got to know that he's approachable. He's a father that loves us and that he's not responsible for all the bad things that happen to us and around us and in this world. That's not our God. That's not our God. Last week, we talked about seeing Father's love clearly. This week, we're going to teach and expound on seeing Father's forgiveness clearly. Seeing Father's forgiveness clearly. We got to know how to receive forgiveness for ourselves. And then extend that same forgiveness to others. I ask you to pray for me this morning. Receive Father's forgiveness and then extend that forgiveness to others. Forgiveness is something that we all want to receive, but we're not always ready to give. We're more ready to receive forgiveness than we are to give forgiveness. And why is that? That's because a lot of times we want to receive restitution. You hit my cat, I'm gonna hit your dog. You did me wrong, I wanna get back at you. But that's not the Father's way. That's not the kingdom's way. His way is not revenge and restitution. That's not his way. But when we're like that, in other words, what we're trying to get people to pay for forgiveness. We withhold forgiving them until they actually give us something or pay us something so that we can forgive them. This payment could be desired in many forms, depending on the person or circumstance of the injury. It's just when we suffer injury, we want payment for it. It's in America, we do that. We do lawsuits in courts and stuff, to get payment for our injury. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm gonna say this thing. The Bible does say, don't take a brother to court. Doesn't say don't take the non-believer to court, but it does say don't take the brother to court. So forgiveness. So what exactly is forgiveness according to the scriptures, and how does it work? Forgiveness comes from the Father through Jesus Christ and his suffering and death for all mankind on the cross. And this happened, what, thousands of years ago. Forgiveness has always been around as long as man needed forgiveness. And from the sin of Adam and Eve, forgiveness was needed. When Cain killed his brother, forgiveness was needed. Cain and Abel, when he killed him, Cain did the killing. Then forgiveness was needed. Cain needed forgiveness, whether he realized it or not. So forgiveness has been around as long as mankind, and sin started. When sin started, there came a need for forgiveness, and God knew that. God needed know that we needed forgiveness in order for us to become back into his family and be his child. In the Old Testament, we find in Genesis 15 through 21, that Jacob's brothers wanted forgiveness. They had, I'm sorry, Joseph's brothers needed forgiveness. Y'all pray for me this morning because I'm tired. Let me slow down. In Genesis 50, 15 to 21, we find that Jacob had passed away and left 12 sons. 11 or 10 of the sons sold Joseph into slavery. His brothers did. Sold him into slavery in Egypt. Later on, they had to come back when Joseph had been promoted. They didn't know who he was, and they had to buy food from Joseph. And Joseph was head in Egypt, right under Pharaoh. So in Genesis 50, we find that Jacob passed away. And the brothers thought about what they had done to Joseph. And they wondered, okay, now our father is dead. Is Joseph going to try to get revenge on us? Is he going to try to help us to make us pay for what we did to him? And so they were concerned about it. And they were seeking forgiveness from Joseph because Jacob was dead. And they thought Joseph might seek revenge. But let's read Genesis 50:19, and we'll see what Joseph said to his brothers. But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of God." He was in the place of God. He was the savior of Israel at that time. Next verse, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and for your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph's word assured his brothers that they were forgiven. They were forgiven. Have you ever done somebody wrong and you knew it was wrong in your heart and you felt like you needed to seek for forgiveness? And then you go and you ask for forgiveness and you receive that forgiveness. That's a blessed thing to seek for forgiveness and receive forgiveness. He wasn't seeking revenge. When you know somebody's not seeking revenge against you, because we all done wrong. But to know that somebody forgives us and is not seeking revenge against us brings us peace and joy. So Joseph forgave his brothers, and there was no condition to his forgiveness. He blessed his brothers. He took care of his brothers. He gave them the same thing that he gave them when his father was living, was the same thing he gave them when the father passed away. It did not change because Joseph's forgiveness was not conditional. All they had to do was receive it. Just receive forgiveness. Grace gives forgiveness unconditionally. It just has to be received. And we're living in the age of grace, where forgiveness is readily available from God. And all we have to do is receive that forgiveness. Pharaoh sought for forgiveness in Genesis 10, 17. When Moses came to Pharaoh and was telling Pharaoh, "God, to let my people go," and different plagues was covering the land of Egypt. In this particular verse, Genesis 10, 17 through 20, locusts had spread all over Egypt. And the locusts plagued the people of Egypt because Pharaoh would not let the people go. So Pharaoh asked Moses to forgive him and pray to God for him. I find it interesting that Pharaoh didn't ask God to forgive him. He asked Moses to forgive him and then go pray to God for him. So he asked Pharaoh asked Moses to forgive him for not letting the people go and to pray to God for him. And that's what Moses did. Let's look at verse Exodus 10, 17. Exodus 10, 17. "Now therefore, forgive my sin, please, only this once." That's Pharaoh talking. "And plead with the Lord your God only to remove this death from me." So Moses, what did Moses do? Moses pleaded to God for Pharaoh, and God removed the locusts. But Pharaoh wasn't grateful. And God hardened his heart, and he still didn't let the people go. What about Job and his three friends? We see in Job that every time that Job's children would have a party in their house, Job feared that the children had sinned against God. So Job would do a burnt offering unto God for forgiveness for his children. You find it in Job 1:5. And then Job repented because Job said some things he should not have said because of the things that happened to him. And Job's friend said some things to Job that they shouldn't have said. So we see here Job needed forgiveness, but Job needed to forgive his friends, and his friends needed forgiveness. After Job repented, God's instruction to his friends were to ask Job to pray for them. So God, and that's in Job's 42:7-9. The friends sinned against Job because they said all kind of slanderous stuff against Job that wasn't true. And so they needed forgiveness. They needed God's forgiveness. They needed Job's forgiveness. And God told them, so you take seven rams and seven bullocks and offer them as burnt offerings and have Job pray for your forgiveness. So in Job 42:9, we see, so Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. And the Lord also accepted Job. Everybody needed forgiveness. The friends needed forgiveness. Job needed forgiveness. When Job prayed for his friend, he also was accepted. So what did Job? The scripture doesn't say it, but I'm quite sure Job was accepted after he prayed for his friends because he needed to forgive his friends. You can't hardly pray for somebody if you got something against them. If you're going to pray for somebody, you need to forgive them. You need to forgive them. So Job prayed for his friend. He forgave his friend, and Job was accepted. So what did Jesus say about forgiveness in Matthew 6? We're talking about seeing our Father's forgiveness clearly. And we see that everybody needs forgiveness from God because of sin. Matthew 6:12 says, "And forgive us our debts." This is part of the what we call the Lord's Prayer. "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us because we have forgiven others." So this scripture makes forgiveness for us conditional on us forgiving others. Because the next verse says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." If we forgive others their trespasses, our heavenly Father will also forgive us. Matthew 6:15, "But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." If we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. That's what the scripture says. But remember what? Jesus hadn't been come our sacrifice yet. He hadn't paid for all our sins yet. But forgiveness is still, that command for us to forgive is still there because it's in the New Testament. Forgiveness, the kingdom of God. We're living in the kingdom of God. We're living in our Father's kingdom. And in our Father's kingdom, Jesus is king and we're servants. In our kingdom, there's love. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff in our kingdom. But there's another thing in our kingdom we often forget about. In our kingdom is forgiveness and forgiving. In our kingdom is forgiveness. Our kingdom is a kingdom of receiving forgiveness and forgiving. Receiving forgiveness and forgiving. In Matthew 18:21, we see Peter asking a question about how many times he should forgive. And Jesus made it a point, and when he asked Peter the same, "Peter, forgiveness never stops. You never stop forgiving. There's never a time when you don't forgive. You always forgive. Matter of fact, in the Word of God, there's nothing that a person could do to us that we should not or could not be able to forgive by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I don't care what somebody does to you, you have in you the nature of God, which is forgiveness, and you're able to forgive.
We can forgive. The only thing, only unforgivable sin is that sin of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. But as far as we're concerned, there's nothing anybody could do to us that we're not supposed to forgive them for. That might be hard for you to take, tough for you to swallow, but it's true. It's true. You might already have some stuff in your heart and you're saying, oh, I can't forgive this. And I heard people say that. I could never forgive this. I could never forgive them for that. Yes, you can. And matter of fact, if you're in the kingdom of God, if you're going to live in the kingdom of God and have the benefits of the kingdom, you got to learn to forgive. You got to learn to receive your forgiveness and extend that same forgiveness to others. Our kingdom is a kingdom of forgiving. It's not a kingdom of holding grudges. It's not a kingdom of revenge. It's not a kingdom of being bitter. It's a kingdom of forgiving. And just because you forgive don't mean you forget. But it means you forgive. It means you forgive. So Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. After he told Peter to never stop forgiving, then he began to talk about what our kingdom is like. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And he gave a parable. He told the parable of a servant that had a debt he couldn't pay. Matter of fact, the scripture says that debt that this servant owed was like many millions or many billions of dollars in our way of looking at money now. He owed way more than he could pay. And this parable is like us. We owe God way more than we could pay. Sin was way more than we could pay for. So our Father's nature of forgiveness, we need to see that clearly. We need to see that there's no sin, how big or how many times you sin, that God cannot forgive you for, that the blood of Jesus did not atone for. Even if you blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, like Paul said he did it ignorantly, but there's forgiveness. In our kingdom, there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. And he began to say that the servant came to his master and asked the master and pleaded for the master to forgive him because he owed a debt he could not pay. And he knew he couldn't pay it. And so the master forgave him the debt. Have you been forgiven today? Do you remember how much God forgave you of? The Bible said that he that has forgiven much loveth much. You know, I thought about that thing. You know what? We all been forgiven much. Our sins are not all the same, but sin is sin, and we all been forgiven much. So all of us should love much. So our Father is a forgiving God. In our kingdom, there is forgiveness. But the servant was forgiven. Well, the servant went right out and found somebody to owe him some money and wouldn't forgive that small debt. You know, Jesus is letting us see us in that parable. He's letting us see us. We've been forgiven all our sins. Everything's been forgiven. And now we're walking around and some little thing somebody do to hurt us, or some little thing somebody do to try to offend us, or some, it could be a big thing, but compared to the sins of the whole world, it's a little thing. And this servant would not forgive after he had been forgiven. And so he was what? He was punished because he wouldn't forgive. Because he wouldn't forgive. And you know what? I think Jesus said that because you know what? If you don't really and truly receive your forgiveness, you know, he took light of his forgiveness. He took very light of it. Because had he really fully received forgiveness for his debt like he should have in his heart, he would have had compassion on the forgiving somebody else. And Jesus wants us to see that. He's forgiven us so much, we ought to forgive others. We're living in a world where nobody hardly wants to forgive. Everybody wants to talk about everybody. Everybody wants to slander everybody. Everybody wants to do this and do that, but nobody's talking about forgiving. Nobody stand up on the TV saying, well, you know what? My opponent says been talking about me, but I forgive him. I'm not holding against you. Forgiveness. We need to see Father's forgiveness clearly. When we see the Father's forgiveness clearly, we'll be ready to forgive others. We'll be ready to forgive others. So why do we seek forgiveness? Why do we seek forgiveness? We know that forgiveness comes from the Father through Jesus Christ and his suffering and death for all mankind on the cross. And this happened thousands of years ago. But it will forever be valid. What Jesus did on the cross will always be valid. Forgiveness will always be valid through his blood. But why do we seek forgiveness? It's sad to say, but one of the main reasons we seek forgiveness is to escape from the consequences of our actions or the punishment of sin. You can see that in the criminal justice system. People want to be forgiven, but they don't want to change. And receiving forgiveness without changing is not true forgiveness. Because when you truly repent and receive your forgiveness, that changes you. That changes your actions. So we shouldn't want to be forgiven just to escape punishment. And sometimes we want to be forgiven so that we can receive peace. We feel so guilty about what we did, we can't find no peace. So sometimes we just want peace. We just want peace because, and peace, forgiveness bring peace. But Jesus Christ came not only to deliver us from the eternal consequences of sin, which is hell and the lake of fire, but he also came to give us peace. And he also came to what? To deliver us from the very dominion of sin by giving us a new nature. When we truly receive God's forgiveness through being born again and through receiving Christ as our Savior, we receive a new nature. And in that new nature, you have the ability to be like God and forgive sins. You can forgive the sins of others on when they sin against you. You actually have God's ability in you to forgive. You can forgive. You can forgive because it's God's nature to forgive. So we have his nature so we can forgive. God wants us to forgive. There's so many scriptures in the Bible about forgiveness, and Jesus talked about forgiveness because forgiveness is important to God. Because he knows unforgiveness hurts us. He knows that we have to be like him and forgive. Think about how God sent Jesus. God so wanted us to receive forgiveness. He so wanted us to have forgiveness of our sin. He so wanted us to have dominion over sin. That Christ came and died and suffered so that we could be forgiven. And a lot of times we don't even want to even suffer anything in order to forgive somebody else. So much has been given for us to be forgiven. God gave so much for us. Why can't we give out of our own heart forgiveness to somebody else? Forgive. 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 Let's look at 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Next verse, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have been made partakers of the divine nature. So God's nature is in us. We have the nature. We have the ability to forgive. We have the nature of God, and God's nature is forgiveness. So we should forgive. We live in a kingdom where we should be constantly forgiving others. The Bible even tells us what? Forgive your enemies. Not just to forgive your brothers and sisters, but we're commanded to forgive our enemies. Forgive. Walk in that nature that God has given you. And that nature is a nature of forgiving. It's a nature of forgiving. So when you see God's forgiveness clearly, when you see how much you have been forgiven, when you see what forgiveness costs the Father, you'll be willing to give whatever it costs you just to forgive others. Just to forgive others. We forgive because we have been forgiven. That was the parable that Jesus told in Matthew. We forgive. Why? Because we have been forgiven. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Not forgiving grieves the Holy Spirit. When we don't forgive others, the Holy Spirit is grieved, because the Holy Spirit is probably trying to help us remember you've been forgiven. Think about how God has forgiven you. Shouldn't you not forgive others? Should not you forgive others? So not forgiving grieves Holy Spirit, because we've been sealed. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So therefore, Holy Spirit is with us. Holy Spirit knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows our emotions. He knows what's in us. He's in us, so he knows what's in us. He knows what's in there. If something in there is not doing us any good but doing us harm, Holy Spirit knows it. And unforgiveness does us harm. So we're sealed by the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes. So we should never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in our life. Ephesians 4:31, after it told us not to grieve the Holy Spirit because we are sealed by him, it said, let, that means let the Holy Spirit, let all, since you're sealed with him, he's in you. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let Holy Spirit clean all that stuff out of you. Don't let it stay there. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking comes because of somehow or another we got offended at somebody. Somebody did something to us. We got angry. We got bitter. Holy Spirit wants to put all that away from us. So if we're still holding that on the inside of us, that means we haven't forgiven. If you're still holding some of that on the inside of you in your heart, you have not forgiven. You need to allow Holy Spirit to remove all that stuff out of you by what? Forgiving. I'm gonna read what the Amplified Bible says about Ephesians 4:31. I like this. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper. Ever had a bad temper? Any of y'all still got a bad temper? And resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive, or blasphemous language be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. All these makes it hard to forgive, but just because something is hard doesn't mean it's impossible. We have the nature to forgive. We can forgive because God's nature is in us, so we need to forgive all of that. All these things, why do we need to forgive it? All these things give a place to the enemy in our hearts. If you have any of that stuff in your heart, it gives place to the enemy. And the Bible says, give no place to the enemy. Unforgiveness gives place to the enemy to work. So Holy Spirit wants us to face them and allow him to deal with each one of them and to remove them out of our heart. You got to face it. You got to face it. In our women's study yesterday, we talked about how the 23rd Psalm says that God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and he anoints our head with oil. And so it was saying that, okay, you got all these enemies out there, but you got to face them. Sitting to the table that God has prepared for us means you got to sit down and face your enemy. In order to sit to the table that God has prepared for you, because there's some stuff on that table God wants you to receive. And the enemy got to watch you enjoy what God has prepared for you. But in order to do that, you got to face the enemy. So face the enemy and allow Holy Spirit to deal with whatever you have against the enemy while you enjoy what? The fruit of the labor of Jesus Christ. You can enjoy the fruit of forgiveness because what? You've been forgiven, so you can forgive. When we forgive others, oh boy, what joy, what peace, what contentment comes in our heart once we forgive, once we forgive. Ephesians 4:32 say, and be kind to one another. Are there any kind Christians left? Sometimes it's hard to find a kind Christian. But we have to remember, we are kind Christians. So be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Not hard-hearted. Tender-hearted. Hard-hearted people are people that it's hard for them to forgive. It's hard for them to love. But tender-hearted means it's easy to forgive. It's easy to love. Forgiving one another. Ephesians 4:32. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiving one another. I like what the Amplified says about Ephesians 4:32. It says, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. So God in Christ forgave us. We're going to close with Colossians 3. 1 through 17. We might not do all the verses. We're going to go to Colossians 3, 1 through 17. And that was our scripture lesson for today. And I'm not going to read all of it, I don't think. But the first verse says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So what are the things above we should seek, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God? We should seek love. We should seek forgiving. We should seek being kind to one another. We should seek the what? We should seek to walk in the nature of God. And the nature of God is forgiveness. We should seek to walk in his nature. Now that we know we have his nature, we should seek to demonstrate that nature, to bear fruit from that nature. And one of the fruits from that nature is forgiving. Forgiving. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. There's a lot of things on this earth to set our minds on. Trust me. But we ought to set our mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For we died and our life is hid in Christ. And the fifth verse says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And it says, when we weren't set, and we walked in that way, we lived in them before we knew Christ. Verse 7 says, you know, before we once walked that way, and we lived in them, but that was before Christ. And the 8th says, verse says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, put off anger, put off wrath. Sounds like Ephesians, doesn't it? Put off anger, put off wrath, put off malice, put off blasphemy, filthy language out of your own mouth, put it away. Do not lie to one another. Since you put off the old man, don't lie to one another anymore. Tell the truth. Husband, tell your wife the truth. Wives, tell your husband the truth. Tell one another the truth. You know, and we find it hard to do sometimes. Sometimes we find it hard to tell each other the truth, but be truthful, be honest. Be truthful, be honest. Let's go to verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. I like what Colossians 3:12 in the Passion Translation said. I'm going to read that. I mean, yeah, Passion Translation, Colossians 3:12. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God. Since you have been divinely chosen to be holy, be merciful as you endeavor to understand others and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Unoffendable. You know, we can be unoffendable. We can be so much walking in the things of God that we choose not to be offended. Offenses are going to come, the word of God said. They're going to come. They're going to come. They're going to come. But we can choose not to be offended. We should be what? Unoffendable in our patience with others. It's people that offenses come through. So we can be patient with people that get on our nerves. Patient with people that seem to push every button. Patient with them and be unoffendable. Unoffendable. So they're not acting right today. They might not be acting right tomorrow. That's okay. Be unoffendable. They're acting a little crazy. They might be looking a little crazy, but be unoffendable. Don't let it get to you. And with the grace of God in you, you can not let it get to you. Bearing one another, Colossians 3:13. Bearing one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You must forgive. Forgiveness is part of the kingdom. We live in a kingdom of forgiving others. You cannot operate in the kingdom unless you are forgiving one another. You can't enjoy the kingdom unless you are forgiving one another. Because guess what? Everybody in the kingdom ain't perfect. All of us in the kingdom are not mature yet. Some of us have some hang-ups and some slip-ups and whatever. But we got to be what? Kind to one another. Forgive them as Christ forgave us. I'm going to read what 3:13, Colossians 3:13 says in the Passion Translation. I like this too. Tolerate the weakness of those in the family of faith. You hear that? Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Forgiving one another in the name, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. Release it. Release it. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. If you're walking in love with someone, you can take a whole lot of stuff they dishing out if you just walk in love. And the 15th verse said, let the peace of God rule in your heart, which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule. Walk in forgiving others. Because what? Forgiveness brings peace. If you're harboring bitterness against someone, an anger or an unforgiveness, you have no peace in that relationship. You have no peace with that person. But you are to what? Let the peace of God rule in your heart by what? Forgiving. 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 Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I think about the women's Bible study we had yesterday, when it says teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching one another, teaching one another, teaching one another. We should be teaching one another to forgive, teaching one another by being an example of the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the patience of God, the nature of God, teaching by example. Teaching by words is good, and we should teach by words, but the greatest thing is teaching by example. Well, if I just teach by words and I have no example, then no one will listen to my teaching. But we should teach by example. Teach by example, teaching one another. Teaching one another. And that last verse says, and whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do all, whatever you do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God. We don't have to thank God for the offense that came against us. We don't have to thank God for the insult that came against us or the injury that came against us. But in the midst of all of that, we can thank God that we are forgiven. And we can thank God that, oh God, I have the ability to forgive. God, I choose to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. You have to choose to forgive. And once we choose to forgive, the Holy Spirit gives us the grace that we need to forgive. Because remember, grace is what? The enabling power of God that helps us do what God has told us to do. We have grace to forgive. So we need to walk in forgiveness, walk in the kingdom, live in this kingdom, forgiving one another, giving no place to the enemy by harboring unforgiveness in our hearts, choosing not to be offended. Opportunities will come. You're going to get many opportunities to be offended, but choose when the opportunity comes, choose not to be offended. Hallelujah. Choose not to let it get to you. And if it get to you, choose not to let it stay. Because we have a choice. And the Holy Spirit works with our godly choices. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. If you choose to make a godly choice, Holy Spirit can work with that. But if you make an ungodly choice, Holy Spirit can't work with it. But guess what? The devil will work with it. So who are you allowing to work in your life? What fuel are you giving to the person, or what fuel are you giving out and allowing who to work in your life? If you give out godliness, if you give out the word of God, Holy Spirit got something to work with. But if you give out ungodliness, unforgiveness, then the enemy's going to work with that. And you don't want the enemy working. You don't want him working. You don't want him working. You don't want to give him no place. So give place to the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Walk in the kingdom of God in love and forgiving, because that's the Father. See clearly that the Father's desire is for us to be people forgiving one another, loving one another, being kind to one another. That's the Father's desire. See his forgiveness clearly. He forgave us so that we will be able to forgive others. He started by forgiving us. Now he wants to share that same forgiveness we received, share it with others. Forgive somebody today. If you have something in your heart today, anything in your heart today that you have not forgiven somebody for, forgive that person. Choose to forgive. Say it out loud to the Lord. Say it out loud to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I've been having this, this, and this against this person. They did that to me. But I choose to forgive them. I choose no longer to hold it against them. I choose to let it go by the grace of God. See the Father's forgiveness clearly. When you see it clearly, then you'll forgive others. No matter how much it hurt or whatever, you will choose to forgive. And by forgiving others, not only set them free, but you set yourself free also. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for blessing us to see clearly your forgiveness. When we see it clearly, we see that you have forgiven us. You forgave us of a debt that we could not pay. There was no way we could pay for the sins we had committed. There was no way that we could do anything to receive a new nature, to receive your nature. Only your forgiveness. Only you forgiving us allow that new nature to come in us, your nature, which is the nature of forgiveness. So God, we thank you that we are forgiven. And so since we are forgiven, we choose to forgive others. We choose not to be offended. We choose to be like you. We choose, Father, to rather suffer an injury on our own selves than to hold unforgiveness in our hearts. So God, we thank you. Thank you for having a forgiving spirit on the inside of us. We give you the grace We give you the glory, I mean. And we thank you for the grace. We bless you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.